It's Tuesday night, October 15th.
Yeah.
About 7:15.
Tomorrow's a national holiday.
That's right, there's a...
Chuck's birthday.
A birthday tomorrow.
Chuck's birthday, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he'll be the big 6-0.
I think it's Charles to us. But
I thought that's strange that 58 and a half years ago I got him. He could live with us.
You look good, Chuck, for being 60. You look pretty good.
Yeah,
okay.
You do.
Yeah, I'd beat you if I was a girl, Chuck.
I feel excellent for being 60 years.
Oh, my God. No, yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, anyway, if somebody would pray.
Okay. Lord, we ask for blessings on our meeting tonight, O Lord, that again, your truths, O Lord, would be uncovered. We thank you. We thank you for the sweet, sweet work of the Spirit that is done to reveal your, what your word says, O Lord. We thank you for that. We ask that we would both be able to express it, the revelation that you provide to us, O Lord, and that we would have ears to receive those revelations too by your grace. Amen.
Yes. Years ago, Smith Wigglesworth prophesied. And you know, he's the one that raised the people from the dead, and he had a real ministry before God. And he prophesied that the hour would come when the Spirit and the Word would come together. You remember that? Remember hearing about that? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that don't make sense. Because except it all of a sudden it does make sense. And because the real Word is letter, or the fourth word is letter, and so when it's a letter, then it's the Spirit is not behind it. I had a dream a couple nights ago, and anyway, contrary to a lot of the dreams that I've had, and it's been a long time since I had a dream like this, but I was at the church and standing up in the front, and the church is full of people, and the people were looking up at the front, and it's like no matter what, it's a thing that we're familiar with that I was saying, and people were just eating it. They were just hungry, and a lot of people, church full of people, and at the end of it, I thought I didn't even know what to do because it was so contrary to what I'm normally used to, not receiving or not interested or not hungry or whatever. And all of a sudden I turned, and Joanne was standing right alongside of me. And she started to preach, you know. And in the dream, I don't know that it's not real, you know. You don't know the thing. And that was the end of the dream. But anyway, lately we have been talking a lot. And you know what? I'm starting to understand it a little bit. In the seventh chapter of Romans, or of John, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast. So the last day had to be whatever it was. It was a great day. That was the culmination of everything that they were looking for. See, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, drink mean what? How do you drink? He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, anyway, in that dream, there was a different something that's coming. And that we're not really familiar with, you know. And it's like... when the Holy Spirit has truth to work with, then out of your belly will flow rivers of living truth. You know what I mean? It has to be truth. It can't be malarkey or bony or, you know, it can't be phony. And so God is getting ready to preach truth to a generation of people that haven't heard truth. And what will happen, you know, with the time of Jesus? Many went away and believed on him. Many heard him and didn't believe on him. Many believed him, but they didn't. And, you know what I mean? And so it's the same thing. What has happened to us is phenomenal. And the other night, when somebody was here, and I was talking to him, and just like we talk, just like one of our meetings, and nothing special, but all of a sudden this individual said, "I could listen to you all night." And I thought, that's kind of different. But I understand. When out of your belly flows rivers of living truth, it's different than the phony baloney that we've been used to. And remember Eutychus? I was listening to Paul, and Paul preached all night. But they must have been interested if they listened all night, you know. And but anyway, I think we're about ready to come into an hour of understanding. You know, I am being pushed with baptism, and I'm not really excited about the lakes right now. But I think the baptism thing will be an advantage, and I think that we're going to get some major revelation. When Peter says baptism does not save you, I understand the thing. He said, not the washing of the dirt off your body, but the act of a good conscience. And I think that we're going to, even us, we may be, some of us, going through some new baptism. But in the process, we will have a scriptural foundation for it, which will make all the difference in the world, you know. So anyway, I got lots to say, but go ahead.
You know, for us, I don't, certainly the church will, but for us, I think a lot, if there is some water coming out of us, it's been pretty dead.
Yeah.
Pretty dead.
Yeah, even with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole notion of rivers of living water, oh my, how...
I'm starting to get it, Charlie. I'm starting to understand it.
How wonderful, you know. I realize that we saw a misemphasis in Seattle by focusing on the Old Testament feasts.
Yeah.
You know. But let me just say, you know, the theme was that there, in the Old Testament, there were the three feasts. There was the Passover, there was Pentecost, and then there was Tabernacles. The first two have been fulfilled. We're waiting for a fulfillment of the third one. And what Jesus, you know, the great day of the feast, that would have been the Feast of Tabernacles that he was attending. On the last day, in the end, there will be a ministry of the flowing of living waters from our uttermost being.
Which will be truth.
Yes. Amen.
Which will be truth.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that we have it, but the love for it is put you on the verge of it. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to claim any flowing of living waters out of my belly, but there's an excitement at the prospect of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I'm not used to. I'm not used to that excitement of that scripture there with the flowing of rivers of living water. You know?
Yeah, well, Jesus said, "The words that I speak are spirit and life." And the words that we have heard over the years is not spirit or life. The spirit really hasn't been pushing it. It's been man's revelation by the letter. You know, that's all we heard. Even through Community Chapel, there was so much letter that it was hard to pick up the spirit.
Amen. I was going to say, I've been thinking back, and I just don't have a lot of recollections of period where I really thought the Spirit was flowing. I mean, prior to what we've been doing here.
Certainly not in the same way.
Yeah. No.
Not in the same way.
I mean, I can remember really experiencing the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, for quite a while, actually, but no foundation like this.
No.
You know, no understanding, you know.
Yeah, it was, there were two ends of a, you know, extreme. One was focused on the Bible, which was pretty not fun at all. And then there was the Spirit on the other end.
The stuff.
Right, the real deal, you know. And I knew the Bible, but, you know, the whole idea that there was going to be a joining there, oh, my mind. That, it makes so much sense, of course.
No.
But never occurred to me.
But the thing is, and we have to realize, I mean, truthfully, we have to realize that the Holy Spirit will not promote false doctrine. So if we're gonna emphasize the Trinity, or if we're gonna emphasize things that are not true, we're not gonna get a spiritual background for or backing for it. It won't happen. And so somewhere along the line, the truth element has to come in. It's like if the Spirit is going to be joined to the Word, well, the Word is the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. But it's not a false word. It's a word of truth.
But then again, there's Word. There's the Word. And then there's a Spirit-infused word.
Yeah.
And I mean, there have been, I've sat in Bible studies which talked about the word, but didn't have the life, or I wouldn't have confused it with rivers of living water.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And that setting, I mean, that you've been referring to, and you've been on it. So obviously it's important. But I mean, I kind of think of that as a situation where the Word of God infuses the Spirit. It's just flowing. Mm-hmm. And I think we've gotten a taste of that when we are chasing a truth that God's revealing to us, and we move around in the Bible, whether it be tongues or, what was the last one? We had a couple of weeks back, we had a very good discussion on something, on repentance. And as we were going through that, and I mean, we were diligently seeking understanding, God's understanding, and the Spirit met us. And we had a revelation, or had revelations to what repentance was. And
we've had brooks of living water.
Or a little sprinkle, or a little bubbler, not a mighty Mississippi.
Not a river.
Yeah. But to your point, Ken, I mean, I've had times when I have felt the Spirit on me. But generally those were not combined with the Word. They were combined with, in a different way, either whether it was prayer or dancing or some expression of worship.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But
you know, I don't know that we should underestimate either also the what God has done in us. You know, like, you know, the living water, you know, the rivers of living water, and then little brooks. But we've had little brooks, and that's what a river is.
It's made up of a lot of little brooks,
right? You know what I mean? I don't know that we should. Sometimes maybe we're expecting this.
I'll tell you, I watched something this morning that it's got to break open. I mean, Donnie, who's the only guy? Swagger. Come out and just literally rebuked the prosperity gospel.
Huh?
I mean, and he wasn't as kind as Benny Hinn. He was like, he was calling him...
Jimmy Swagger's son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was calling him pimps. You know, prosperity pimps.
Oh, yeah. Well, fine.
And I mean, but he, the way he's, I mean, and then, well, it was his thing on YouTube. It was his thing, but he was bringing in quotes from like Jesse Duplantis or
Duplantis. Yeah.
Oh, you should have heard him. He wasn't one bit ashamed that he has the largest house of any pastor in the United States, 40,000 square feet.
Mm.
And you know how he, you know what his, you know what his justification was? Faith demands you possess possessions. Where does that come from?
Oh my,
and then the other one was Kenneth Copeland. And they were saying, like, him and his wife, you can't, you're not allowed to talk to them because you'll ruin the anointing. You know, they won't allow anybody to just come up and talk or touch them or whatever because they don't want the anointing ruined.
You know, I believe you would expect a cleansing.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to really stir up the church world.
You know, and in Peter it says...
because then truth is going to need to come forth.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Right.
You know?
If judgment doesn't come in the house of the Lord,
right.
You know, first, judgment comes in the house of the Lord. And I...
And, you know, when he says, I don't hate anyone, he said, but you're wrong. You know, you're not, that is not in the Bible. That is not the Word of God.
Hmm. That's funny because his dad has been on.
Kind of, yeah. Well, yeah, see, I think he doesn't care. He sees it for what it is, and he doesn't care if his dad probably was doing it or not. Any of you, he said, but he did, those two were extremes, kind of, you know. I mean, Duplantis, he was like, oh, I've got all kinds of artwork, and da-da. I mean, he was bragging about all the stuff he has. How do you justify that? And the people sitting in front of him are going, yeah, or whatever. And I'm thinking, man, are you duped?
Mm.
You know? It was something. I mean, that was, I didn't expect quite that big of a confrontation of that particular doctrine.
That tells me that there's an awakening going on.
And there's quite a few other pastors that pop up on there that support what Benny Hinn had said.
Yeah.
So it isn't like he's just one by himself, you know, or like da-da-da. There's getting to be a lot of them now that are really speaking out.
Well, you know, there's a scripture that says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like once there's awakening up, then the light begins to come in, see?
Mm-hmm. Donnie goes, where in the Bible did Jesus say, don't touch me or talk to me?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and where did, you know, where does it show that he ever owned a lot? I mean, that's just, it's amazing how they have so convinced themselves that they're so worthy of having all of this worldly goods, you know? So that, in a way, that's exciting because, like you said, you're feeling, well, yeah, I mean, this is, so that people are going to want to know truth, you know? And Donnie Swigert's going to have to know some more truth also, though. Like us, anybody. Well, nobody's got it all, you know?
When we start hearing that people are realizing that Jesus is a man and not God, we got an awakening.
Yeah.
Because the believing, you know, if what I'm reading, if I'm seeing it right, the Antichrist is behind the Trinity. He's behind it. And if we see that in 1 John, the 4th chapter, you know, that whatever spirit does that confess that he came in the flesh is of the Antichrist. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Trinity, the Trinity says that he didn't come in flesh. He's coexistent, co-eternal, co-whatever, co-equal.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say that all the time. And what is it? We quoted the Apostles' Creed or something.
Yeah,
Nicene Creed.
Yeah. They were both of them. We're in a Lutheran church.
I used to say that all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you'd read it before the service, generally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was routinely recited.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, you know, they're talking about the dual nature of Jesus. Sometimes he's man, sometimes he's God. There is no indication of any duality. He was just one man. He was not split in any kind of way.
That is man's conclusion.
Coming up with a deal, right.
It's a man explaining how he was doing miracles.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he has to be God. Nobody, no man could do what he did.
That's right. Right.
See, that's all, that's just human logic.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, I believe I heard it said by somebody introducing or whatever, talking about Benny Hinn, but he's a Israelite. I mean, he's from Israel.
Benny Hinn.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, Benny, I would like to somehow send him an email or something. How? And just tell him to read 2 Corinthians over and over and concentrate on every word. And ask the Lord's Holy Spirit to show you what that means. You know? I mean, because pretty soon you're going to hit on the fact that it says man.
Yeah.
Mediator. Only one true God in the beginning, it says it. So, it's amazing, you know. But, I mean, we didn't see that either for what it was. You know, so.
No, and it,
it's not, I'm not judging him or anything.
Well, is that... In John 17:3, where it says that they might know you, the only true God. And that's the way it's worded, the only true God.
Sounds like one.
That kind of eliminates all others, does it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have dwelt on that thought a little bit. I think Charlie was at you that mentioned that there wouldn't be Islam if there had never been a Trinity, probably,
right.
Because they didn't. They went against that. They couldn't believe that, you know.
Yeah, what we're saying.
There's only one God.
Yeah, there's only one God. His name is Allah. But
it's kind of not to try and pick a fight, but if you read that scripture, though, only one true God. So then you kind of say, which false God was Jesus?
Well, he's the one that said it. You know, he said there's only one, he said they would know you, the only true God, and the one that you've sent.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. I mean, of course, I never saw that before, but now it's so clear.
Says he that they will know you, not know me.
Yeah,
right. You know what I mean. So he's saying I'm over here, and they will know him.
Right.
You know what I mean.
And I do think it's significant that they were living in a culture that just dubbed all sorts of people gods. You know.
Well, there was that.
Yeah.
I mean, the God of the Sun and the God. I mean, the pagan gods.
They came in. They identified John and Peter or whoever. So they must be gods, you know. And they made their emperors gods.
But that's all mental.
Oh yes, yes. But it was a culture in which they would call them gods.
Yes.
Okay, we'll call them gods.
Paganism.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? So the Trinity makes you a pagan, basically.
Yeah, it's certainly an outgrowth.
I don't think people want to hear
when
that.
When Paul got bit by the viper.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they said he must be a god.
They quickly said, well, he must be a murderer, and he's getting his due payment here. And then when he was okay, he shook the thing in the fire and said, he must be a god. Well, you know, it's just a mental appraisal, you know.
Sure.
Because there's no spirit.
But they were quick to, we don't do that today, you know.
No.
That we still call Jesus God, but not that, you know, we don't. Yeah. Oh, he didn't roll over and die. Must be a God.
So we see Jesus making statements like, I'm going to my God and your God, yeah, my Father and your Father. And it's like, does that mean anything?
Going back when we started, when you said about Paul preaching all night, made me think, what kind of preaching was this? I don't know that he all night, it had to be, you know, from sundown to almost sun up, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it being like a monologue for all that time. It had to be like a dialogue with the audience, or whatever you call it, with the listeners, you know, back and forth. Anyways, and then, you know, it says, you know, out of your belly, you know, we will flow rivers of living water. But also God wants, see, also God wants no flesh to glory in his presence, and so whatever. So our thing to do, I don't think it's going to be much. It can't be much, because God purposely wants to be all about him.
Yes.
So he's not going to have Pablo, all day long, all night long. I can imagine, you know what I mean? Because people are so easy to get happy, praise man, and, you know. I think I'm right, is that our mission is to put the word of God in people's ears or hands and let them know that this word that is the mission of a man, to put this word in the hands of people and to let them know that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will lead them and guide them into all truth, and to get man out of this word listening picture. You know what I mean? And just let them go. If their name is written in the book of life, you don't have to beg them to understand or discuss all day. If God is going to make them understand, he doesn't need you to beg him.
Need to light the match
and go. And let him go. You know, that way, then that way it's all about God. Then it's all about God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how else it's going to be all about God.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just 10 minutes not preaching all night.
Right. You could still be, I'm not saying not preach all night, but the message is not, our job is not to do the job of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm saying. You know, not to lead and guide people into all truth, is to give them what we were given to, and let them know that the Holy Spirit indeed can do it. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, freely you receive, freely give. I mean, we received what we have, and we can only give them what they have.
I don't claim to have been operating under the anointing here a huge amount, but to the extent that it's occurred with me, it's easy when you are ministering under the anointing. It's easy. It's not a lot of hard.
Oh yeah.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to bring up another side to it and see what you think. But now, Paul obviously was operating under the Holy Spirit. And it says that you would share in Jesus' tribulations, suffering, whatever. Well, I kind of says that's a good thing. You want to be in the place to experience that. And I don't think that's going to be from just saying a couple words necessarily. You know what I mean? But I'm with you. I don't want to give anybody the truth. I want to point them to this.
Right.
But it may take a lot of pointing.
Mm-hmm.
You right. know? So, and you have to be careful about it, because you don't want the glory and God,
no,
you know.
No.
And but you might run into lots of people that you do point. You point to this one, and you point to that one, and you point to this one, and you know.
But you see, okay, yes, very much so. But you know, Paul, you know, and you know, he's like, you know, blah, 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 the foolishness of preaching. You know, it's like, is before God, it's not even, if you are talking to a someone that's about to become Christian, you preach to him all night, or you preach to him a minute, it's up to God, really.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it might only be 1 minute, but the next time it might be hours of
sharing. You know what? I don't doubt it, because all of a sudden you tell this guy half a scripture. Now this guy is so on fire about everything that he wants you to tell him, everything you know about, that you know about, and then he'll go and look at it on himself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not saying don't preach.
Yeah.
Or you don't need to learn. But you can, and you know, paint the picture about everything you've known. I can go all night. I'll paint the whole picture, but at the end of the day, when you shake hands with a person, he doesn't have to give you a phone call for a question. Or what. He just have to, okay, I don't mean that like that, but he should just know and understand that you know, the Holy Spirit is all that he needs, or she. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Paul's deal was different from what ours was, too, because he didn't have the New Testament.
Right.
All he had was the Old Testament at that point, which is Types and Shadows. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the New Testament.
Right.
So perhaps he was expressing what was later in the New Testament.
Right.
We don't have that limitation.
Mm-hmm.
There is the New Testament available to us and whoever we'd be ministering to.
I'm, you know, I just a scenario, but okay, let's say I share something with person X, led by the Spirit, that person goes into the Word, the Holy Spirit guides him and leads him into all truth, and then, yeah, you can still communicate and talk about all the excitement of all the good things, like we do right now. I mean, basically, that's what we're doing. We're still communicating about all the exciting things, but we are not teaching ourselves anymore that, hey, Holy Spirit leads you and guide you to all truth. I mean, we know that and we practice that. You know what I mean?
But what's been edifying here is that one person has saw something that maybe somebody else hasn't, shares it, then we all get the revelation.
Right, right, know? Yes.
And then that builds,
person
does. Comes back to the person. See,
that is only because we have all been in the Word.
Right.
If any one of us has not been in the Word, that you would, there, I don't think you,
see, know, that little thing that pops up in my mind is, it's true that God is the one that's going to do it all, but he can do it however many ways he wants to do it, and he has chosen and made it obvious that he wants to use his people to project
it, of course,
or bring people to, you know.
Yes.
So, and if he uses a lot one time and maybe not a lot the next, or he doesn't use this one for
you,
that's all God, and that's all up to him, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, but we need to be careful that we don't think, get into that mode of we're going to, because that's where all these guys are at.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
I'm going to preach, and it's going to be the inspired, anointed, Holy Spirit led, Word of God. Because the minute you think that.
Don't come and bother me, though, because I don't want to lose that.
Don't go touching me with your
dirty
hands.
Like it's up to you that you had the anointing in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to make the comment, kind of tack on to what you were saying, Pablo. I have not had a lot of experiences where I thought, you know, in the moment I realized that the Holy Spirit was really the one leading. But there have been a couple times, enough to know that I have faith. And what really struck me was I wasn't working it. I wasn't really trying. It was just happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that reaffirmed to me that it's not through any effort of intensity,
right,
or whether I'd been in my prayer closet for 82 right. days, or I fasted. It just happened. And, you know, and so I often come here and say, I feel really good when I find ways to diminish me and elevate God. Because we are so far apart. And by just acknowledging I'm diminishing me and elevating God, I think I'm walking more righteously. And so, but the few times I've had, I shared once that I was praying with Susan and she was struggling or something, and I was just trying to be encouraging. And about two-thirds of the way through this prayer, I was being edified by what I was saying, and I wasn't really thinking about it. And all of a sudden, I was being impacted by my own prayer,
mm-hmm.
and I was going, you know, obviously God's in this because it's even better than I think I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blessed because God was using me. You know,
mm-hmm.
so, but I realized this is nothing I did. You know,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah. I mean, it's more amusing. I don't know how to see God do something than to me try to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's what's good.
You know, I did get a, I don't know, I think some of it was conviction, some of it was condemnation, but like last night and this morning, I just felt like I don't have this strong desire to save somebody's soul. You know? I love speaking the truth that God has given, and then as I was I went in prayer and whatever. Of course, I asked him, you know, to give me that or whatever, a heart or whatever. But then I was sitting here just now thinking, you know, not everybody's meant to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It just, and I didn't come up with that. I think the Spirit kind of just gave me a little. Because part of it now, because I was listening to Keith Sunday night, you know, and he's got people coming over and he's sharing, he's trying to win them, you know, and I thought, I ain't got that, you know, but I would love to share the truth, you know, and so just that little nudge from the Holy Spirit kind of said, you know, if you look in Corinthians and all the gifts and whatnot, there everybody doesn't have every gift. There's all different kinds of ministries, you know. So,
but what's happening to us is, you know, the kingdom comes without observation, and so if the word is coming in us, the kingdom of God is coming in us. That's what's happening. So God says in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, he says that a new covenant I'm going to make. And actually, it replaces the Old Testament law. He says, I'm going to write my laws, my word, in your minds and on your hearts. Well, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Is that kind of the same thing? And we're drinking in the word? It's getting, becoming part of us. So then out of our belly will flow rivers of living. You know what I'm saying? Is it kind of one and the same?
Mm-hmm.
I had something happen yesterday. And I can't say that I was preparing myself or planning on it or anything else. But I had this geek from Irv Smith Heating coming. He's a young guy. And I had him before. I liked the guy. And actually, I got him because Carol had him, and she said he's such a nice guy. And so I got him, and he is a nice guy. And so anyway, as we were talking there, and as he came out, I said, do you hear what I'm listening to? The scriptures were playing. He said, yeah. He said, I heard that the last time I was here. And so he was, you know, and I said, well, are you, do you go to church someplace? And he says, no. He said, I'm going to get married here pretty soon. And he said, I've been thinking that maybe I should be, you know, I'm going to have a family or anything. I should have some religion or something. And so anyway, so I got talking to him about it. I said, well, Jake, what I'm doing here, we've been doing for 20 years as a church. And I said, we've come to the realization that Christianity and eternal life is not going to church. It's getting this word in us. And we started talking, and he was real, it sounded like he was open, I don't know. You know what I mean? But it was a good conversation. I thought, well, here's a seed planted. Let's see what happens, you know. But anyway, he said, you know, that's a good idea. He said, I think maybe I'll do that. I'll get the scriptures and play them, you know. And he's a young guy, 25 maybe, just a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Well, to say the amen to what Ken was bringing, we have some service guy around, and I don't talk to him about how we, you know, it's good to listen to the scripture.
Well, I don't either. You know, he was here. He was here before.
Yeah.
I didn't the first time he was here.
Yeah, right.
He was here a year ago.
You know, Ken, and what you were saying, I mean, okay, kind of funny, but Jesus is the one that saves souls, first of all.
Right.
It's not you, whatever.
Well, no.
I know what you're saying, though. I'm just. However, see, you deliberately probably haven't saved a soul, but if you are led of the Spirit, you don't really know what God has done through you. You will probably never know.
No.
Just keep doing exactly what you're doing. Okay, and I'm going to put this to the extreme just as an example, but Judas, how many souls did he save? Quite a bit, by doing something horrible. I mean, so, and I'm not saying you're Judas, so you're doing horrible things, but I'm saying, but my point is that you don't exactly have to, you can, and if you want to, you would, but you don't exactly have to talk to someone about being saving your soul in order to save them. God must have easily could have, without you being aware, could have led you into do something that could impact someone's life to change them. And yeah, you maybe trying to remember something, and you will never remember anything out there in that matter. But I don't know that there's condemnation in feeling the way you are.
What you're saying is right, Pablo, surely. But I believe that if we have a desire to win souls, that's on our heart, you know.
And I think we all do.
Well, I'm a little bit with Ken.
Well, you know,
it's not. That'd be nice, but it's not any burning desire in me. As it doesn't sound as though it is in Ken either. And if it were, maybe there'd be opportunities a little more, you know.
Well,
more
and
put
so,
it, put you.
I did pray, Lord, make me, make it available, or
well,
make it there, whatever.
Yeah. So then you do have a desire.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I heard every one of you.
It's trying to be a desire.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I know that we have it, but it's not necessarily
activated or something.
Well, it's not necessarily the Apostle Paul.
Well, I think you got to be careful, because I think Brother Ken really said something interesting. He said, I'm sitting there and I sort of realize, and I'm not sure if it's condemnation or conviction. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm going, wow, you know, if that isn't what God wants you to do, and you're not doing what God wants you not to do, can't be a whole lot of wrong in that. But he's expressing a heart like, well, gee. And what I got out of that, and I'm listening, is, you know why that's a big deal? Because ever since you were born again, someone said that was your primary job. And if you didn't have that on your heart, you were not doing the stuff.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, what's the most important thing you can do as a Christian? Lead someone else to the Lord. And if you're not doing that, turn in your card. Because you're giving up your membership rights.
Yeah.
And what we've come to learn through the Holy Spirit is that if we're doing God's will, whatever that is, then we are walking more upright. And as Keith and others have just mentioned, 1 Corinthians 14, where we talk about not everybody has the same gift. God's plan for us is not the same. So it just seems like religion to say that everybody should be out trying to win.
It is religion. It's very much like a pyramid sales scheme, Amway or something.
Right.
And the reason it sounds good is because why wouldn't you want that? I mean, it's effect. The hook is there because why wouldn't you want to have someone else have eternal life in the presence and glory of God? Well, no self-righteous, real Christian would ever deny that if they would want that for anybody.
I something, though, that has impacted me that's been said maybe by more than just Pablo, but is that, well, first of all, the most important thing is that I get to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that each one of us gets to heaven. I mean, and I think, Corky, you've implied that, too, and Pablo said that, you know, my first concern, you guys speaking for yourselves, is that I get saved and I end up in heaven. You know, Keith said it too. So, but you know, we know that, you know, there's more to just that. Mm.
I think we can anticipate a powerful ministry. I mean, that's what, well, I am
anticipating
all about.
It. You know?
And with that powerful ministry, you know, it's be like Samson. You know, here on the, you know, at the end, you know,
but I do think there was a little bit of the enemy in that. If you're in a little condemnation, like, how come I'm not feeling that? Well,
But you know, and admittedly, there's probably some dullness from the world. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny. I've been looking at that, and I've been going, This is really, really unusual, because I have received more from the Lord in the last 5 or 10 years, and I feel like I am way farther away from what I was when I was first saved, and the next 5 years of that, or 8 years, it's like, but I know I've been given, and that's the thing. I know these truths have been given by him.
I used to argue with this guy, and I used to say, I feel like I'm not going anywhere. And he'd argue with me. Anybody remember that?
Mm. Yeah, I think we're all talking about each other. I think we're all talking about each other.
Right. And I said, I don't feel like I'm going anywhere.
Yeah. Well,
but you know what? That's because we are learning that there's further to go.
Right. Well, there's that. It's funny, because I think what I heard you say was, you know, back in the day, I had my checklist of things that I should be doing, and now it's like, I know that checklist wasn't a good checklist. And now I've got a new checklist, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the truth that He's leading me into, and all these man-made checklist items. They're not on the list that God has. Mm-hmm. And we go, oh.
But we have stepped into a realm that I'm not familiar with. And one of them is the 1 Corinthians 14 format, church format. That doesn't go on in church. That's not part of the church, any church system. And yet, how is it, brother, when you come together, church, and you have church? One has this, one has that, one has... We're used to this format of this Don Burnett, or this great man with all the answers.
Off the pulpit.
Has spent all kinds of time studying for a message that means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let me just interject here quick. I am anticipating a renewal of the zeal that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, in a way, though... in a way, it's like you're probably thinking, it's like, oh, you know what? I arrived. Now I gotta go step two. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Maybe no. Then. Okay. No.
I don't
but,
know.
But that see that could be that think it could be. Oh, because of that, you know.
Gave me all of this. It's right. Not, we and you. I'm sorry. I've been going ready, to but I that. Emphatically agree with you. And we've actually struggled with this in our group. It's like, well, God just can't give us all of this good stuff and then not have us doing anything with it.
No, that's right.
And
right.
We say, yeah. God can't, and I'm going, I don't like making statements of what God can't do or what I don't think He's going to do.
But out now, of character.
No, He's given us a lot of stuff. Now, for sure, we'll be preaching all night if we were how to share all this stuff. You know what I mean? So, anyways, for some unknown reason, I don't remember the reason. I was talking with Candy, and she says, "You know, when we were kids or teenagers, I don't know, we were supposed to tell everybody that we met and talked to, like, have you met? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ or whatever? Like yeah. Everyone." He says, right. "That is the stupidest thing ever." You know what I mean? Yeah. Can you imagine everywhere you go? Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ? That's just not how it is.
Well, yeah. Now, do you remember a week or two ago? You said, you know, I feel like I'm in this place, and I just...
Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of where I'm not experiencing the exact same thing, yeah. But it's that thing.
Yes.
That you're just, you know...
Yeah. But anyways, any one of us could have a conversation with anyone and without even knowing, without even nothing, lead them into eternal life. You know what I mean? Now, in the future, in the near future, maybe it will be more of a full-time job of some sort or more obvious. But that, I don't think that has a lot to do with us or where we are at. It's just it has a lot more to do with when the time is ready, really.
Yeah.
You know? All this time, sure.
Yeah. I know.
Well, I have found myself in situations where I can talk about what God has done in my life and what God's doing through the Word that I wouldn't have guessed would have going to come up. And, you know, my prayer is that I just remain alert for, you know, don't require God to come along and, you know, crack me alongside the head like, now, you idiot. I mean, I want to be more alert for when there's an opportunity. And be open and sensitive to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're right. The approach that we took in the old days was exactly why no one ever wanted to come to church. Like, you guys are crazy. I don't want nothing
but to do with it. You know what? Maybe you guys are all upright that way. You don't even realize it. I hear stories. I hear things that you run into. And like this thing with Jake yesterday. When that didn't take any great... thing that started that conversation, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I thought, this guy's open. And was he? I don't know. But you plant and somebody else waters and somebody, you know, and the Lord makes the increase.
Mm-hmm.
You let him do what he does. So it doesn't take it really doesn't take any great thing on our part. But I do think that the Word being written on our minds and our hearts, I think that's what's happening. We're listening to the Word, and I think that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Until after a while, you know why, as I'm listening to you guys are going more and more, I mean, not that I know everything, but more and more of the same things. We all know the same things, and they're all vital things. They're all important, and you guys know the same things, and it's like you've got a good handle on it, and not from my perspective, but from your own, from the Lord's work and doing a work inside of you. And the Word has taken root, you know. And I was amazed. I didn't expect anybody to have the answer to that. And I said, where was Jesus at when he preached the message on the parable of the sower? And I didn't expect anybody to know that. And anyway, Jesus, he was sitting in a boat. No, how does she know that?
Yeah, I don't know how she knew that either.
And I wondered about that.
I just pondered it. I just read it myself, you know. I heard it, so I... Yeah, he got... Was it Simon's boat or... Yeah, it must have been Simon's boat. He had a push out from shore and he set the boat and he started talking about the parable of the sower.
Right, because the multitudes was coming around, so he went out so they could all hear and see.
Yeah.
So I was hearing the parable of I guess you don't really call it, maybe it's not called a parable, but when Jesus was talking about Lazarus, who was the beggar, and he ends up in Abram's bosom.
I believe that is a parable.
Bosom,
I believe that is a parable.
Yeah. And I started thinking, you know, and you remember all the discussions we've had about Abram's bosom and was it really hell? And I went, you know what? I think maybe we're overthinking and got a little complicated about that, because the whole point of the thing is there's a teaching, you know, that if you're rich and you think you got it made, you're probably going to end up there. If you're a beggar, but you have faith, you're not going to end up there, you know? And, I mean, it was like, it's showing you how you want to live your life so that you end up in the kingdom of God. It's not necessarily about where he went and who he was, but, you know, I mean, because we're not, you read about the parable of the seed and everything, well, it's obvious. It's about the word. It's not, and we don't all go out and start spreading seed and wonder, do we have the right seed? You know, you know, that kind of a thing. And I thought maybe, you know, and I was one that was delving into all those situations that were going on with Lazarus and the rich guy, and you know, and I thought, I think maybe I was trying to make it way more complicated than Jesus wanted it to be, you know.
It is an unusual parable. You know,
I mean, he says, if you don't have faith to believe, then it doesn't matter how many miracles you see or anything else, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have wondered what his brothers would have done if Lazarus had gone and preached. I wonder what this conversion process would have been. Would it have been to get rid of all their riches or what? I wonder if...
Well,
what would have happened?
Jesus kind of answered that, though, didn't he?
Well, he said, well, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's basically what he said.
They're not going to be saved because
no. They're
just like you,
yeah.
More or less. I mean,
I guess that,
you know.
I guess that is, yeah, no, it's not going to work.
So,
they
had
Moses and the prophets, which they
didn't listen to, right. You know?
Right.
So for one, they didn't listen when God wanted them to be listening. For the other is they desired riches more than and thought they had it made.
Yeah.
And then, so that's the two main things, you know.
Yeah.
And then Lazarus, who is humble and whatever.
Yes.
And like the guy, well, he said, you received your reward. Lazarus is now receiving his reward,
right.
You know.
Right.
So...
I don't know that Lazarus was much of a preacher anyway. He never says a peep in the whole thing.
No. No, he didn't.
Might have been one of the world's most effective preachers.
He could have been, I suppose. That's true. We just didn't find out.
A lot of preachers, a little wordy. You know, a little wordy. They don't say a lot.
One of my favorites is the guy that, you know, that gets his sight back, who was blind from birth, and he preached. And it was so good because it was so simple,
right?
And so direct, like, and he was so innocent in it. It was like, well, oh, do you want to be a follower of Jesus? Because you're asking all these questions.
Yeah, he really irritated those Pharisees.
The Pharisees actually say, hey, why are you teaching us?
And then it always gets me, you know, you're a sinner from birth. And you're not, you know, you still have to go sacrifice at the end of every year because you're a sinner.
Right. You try to teach us.
That's what's kind of interesting about that is how they only remember their sinners at the end when they have to go through the sacrifices, you know.
Yeah, otherwise it really is self-righteousness going on there, isn't there?
You know, I couldn't find it. I was looking earlier, but I come across a passage with Paul, and he gives the example of those who are trying to follow the law. And I couldn't believe the description he gives of these kinds of people. And so if you ever, I mean, I'll have to find it again. I thought it was either in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, because I thought that's where I was reading
it. It probably is in the third or fourth chapter of Galatians.
Somewhere, but it's like, man, if you want to think that you need something, you know, that you want to hang on to the law of the Old Testament, it ain't good. I mean, it doesn't say like, well, you'll miss the kingdom. It calls them all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
Bad thing. You know, I mean, the description is horrible. Mm. And it just kind of struck me that, boy, if anybody wants to, you know, defend that Old Testament in the wrong way, here, this is who...
Well, it is a slap in the face,
you know,
with the dispensation of grace to try to revert to Old Testament merit or whatever.
Right.
Well, when Jesus or when John the Baptist says, was it him that said that? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I think of John the Baptist.
Right.
And it's like grace and truth versus the law.
For does not those who hear the law
that don't
who
make
are
sense.
Righteous?
It's what you mean, there was no truth in the law? But yet it says if there would have been a law given whereby we could get saved, we wouldn't have needed the new covenant.
Right.
But there never was one given.
It was insufficient. Right.
Yeah, it was insufficient.
Yeah. I don't know what to give for a reference necessarily. It was like... I thought maybe he was speaking to Timothy to beware of these people, or to beware of this slipping in.
Well, you know what's really strange?
But I couldn't find it.
In Galatians, there was a lot of people that were coming in that were kind of, they were Christians, but they were under the law. And they insisted, you know, remember what he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, I now made perfect in the flesh." You know, I mean, that's what he's saying to them. And they had come in, and they were they were upsetting the church. And they were saying, we have to be circumcised in order to be saved. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying... you know, a circumcision of the flesh is not what saves you. A circumcision of the heart. You know, it's a different approach to it. But anyway, that was what. If you read Galatians, the whole book of Galatians is it's like a what do I want to call it? Looking at the law versus the New Testament, and these people.
I found the setting. Okay. In Timothy, 1 Timothy. So he's telling Timothy, you know, stay away nor give heed to fables, endless genealogies that cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, insubordinate, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for prejudicers, And if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
So those were the people that needed the law? Or
they wanted to go, they were desiring to be teachers of the law after the fact of hearing the gospel.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, he's rattling off a lot of bad stuff, yeah, though, isn't he?
He says, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And then that's where it... Then I started reading, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogy. So, okay, they're going back... Well, like the Galatians. They're, yeah, they're going back to the old covenant.
It's,
you know,
a warning,
instead, yeah. 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 Because they're lacking in the spirit, I'm sure, or whatever,
and that's demonic. See, that's where the devil, that's how the devil works. And so, what do we have today? We have lots and lots of emphasis on the old covenant, on the Old Testament. That's why I said to read it is one thing, but to concentrate on it gives the devil an opportunity to get us back under the legalisms of the law.
Yeah. You know, it is something that even during the New Testament was being written, right? Early parts of the church age, they still had to deal with natural thinking.
Yeah,
natural,
a lot of it.
Yeah.
How many times does
the
Paul
legalism
repeat about endless words and endless fables? That gets said, I don't know how many, in how many different epistles and,
right,
you know.
And we haven't taken real close heed of it, have we?
Well, the church system has not.
No.
Yeah, that's right. And people get sucked in. I was sucked into it.
Uh-huh.
Right along with everybody else.
Yeah. You kind of think that we recognize
and the church,
that message in the New Testament and stay away from it.
The Church of Christ that I was, my introduction was to the Church of Christ. And Clayton was a minister in that church system. That was Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament. Very seldom you saw anything in the New. A lot of emphasis on memorization of the Old Testament, of knowing it. That's why that day when Tim was putting emphasis on it, because him and I had just been talking about it, and I haven't seen him since. But his emphasis on it, and he said, well, we need to know. And I thought, No, we don't. No, let's let the New Testament fill in whatever it wants to fill in. And a lot of things I didn't need to know. It wasn't something I needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
But see, in Clayton's mind, I don't know how it is right now, it's like, well, I need to know about this one and that one, Old Testament. You know what? Our head ain't big enough to take in all this stuff. What I need to know is the things of the New Covenant that is, you know, I mean, I'm not able to retain only a portion of the New Covenant, let alone figure out the old. I mean, remember we were under the types and the shadows and the,
yeah.
I mean, we studied it, and we studied it, and we studied it, and we studied it. What did it do? You know what it did? It confused me. Because we're not under the types and the shadows now. Those things pointed us towards the law was a schoolmaster that pointed us towards Christ. But what does it say then? We are no longer under the schoolmaster.
Mm-hmm. You know, Charlie, you said, and how we haven't gotten much better.
We haven't.
Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times,
oh, don't tell me,
some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons.
Yeah.
Huh.
Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And that's what where they start coming
well,
up with forbidding to marry, which is what religion, mm-hmm, you know, kind of. forbidding some of them to marry because they're in the ministry, you know, that type of stuff. So it's the work of the enemy for one.
I wonder why would anybody forbid to marry you, or what would be
because
that?
It made you more pure.
Yeah. I suppose.
Jesus made a statement one place in the Bible. He says something, if you can tolerate not having a wife, it is better. And there are some.
Are you sure that's not Paul?
I think it was Paul.
Paul did, but Jesus talked about, you know, some are given to be eunuchs.
Right.
Which is, I think, conveying the same idea.
And so there was this, and people, various religions, had clammed onto that and said, this is the better way. It's kind of a pharisaical way to approach it. See, they said this is a better way, so then celibacy.
So the priests aren't to marry and the nuns aren't to marry.
But then there is a forbidding to marry, which...
I think that's another...
You're going into the priesthood, you're forbidden. You know? Yeah. It's what's not like a gift from celibacy.
What's next, right? Is that where they say they tell you not to eat certain foods?
Is that it? Yeah. And commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth.
What
Holy
is that?
Fish on Friday.
Right, no, but what else? It can't be just that. I'm always wonder, you know, forbidden to eat foods that God has made.
Well, they kind of...
Well, the Jews had a strict thing about food.
But then...
But isn't this talking about latter times? Isn't this talking about last days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Jews... You know.
I think it's a reference to going legalistic, though.
Yeah.
I think it's one way of expressing going under the Old Testament disposition.
This is my... this is why I'm asking, because there's certain, you know, moves or whatever. You know, people say, be vegetarian only, no meat. I mean, has that anything to do with it, you think? Or no?
Paul addresses that. You know, he kind of says, hey, if a brother stumbled by you eating meat, then he said, I won't eat meat.
In front of your brother, but you just keep eating meat when you're home.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But, I mean, it's...
It is true that there are, like, Seventh-day Adventists or whatever are strict vegetarians.
Are they? Okay. Yeah. And then, see, the Jews, they won't eat anything that's with a certain hoof. Like, pigs are the wrong hoof.
Pork.
Okay. Pork, yeah. You know.
Did they eat cow tongue?
We're going to have cow tongue as communion next Sunday or whatever.
See, this is where it kind of gets cleared up. For every creature of God is good,
right.
And nothing is to be refused if it is received
with
thanksgiving.
Yeah.
For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Yeah.
And it kind of says, though, that the guy that's worried about eating, and it says, well, he's the weaker one, so help him, basically, is what it's saying. You know.
He's not choosing the better way.
No, but rather than drive him farther off, abstain in his presence so that he's not so offended he won't listen to you again, you know, address with you.
Yeah, Paul makes a strange statement, and he says, for the sake of the soul, he says he became a Jew to those that were Jews, he became a Gentile, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Greek to Greek.
And it's like, so that... And one of the things that Paul did that I have questioned is that he was told when he went into the temple to sanctify himself that he shaved his head and he did what these other guys were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it didn't make sense.
I know, that part puzzles me.
Yeah.
Kind of reeks of hypocrisy or something.
A little, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
isn't he doing it to ensure, it's just a different way of looking at the food. And maybe he's saying, this will stumble them. If I don't do this, it'll stumble them so bad that God can't move. Mm-hmm. In his mind. I mean, he's making a judgment there, but
Well,
and you know,
and it's here in the Bible, it's which sort of put the stamp of verification on it.
And, but the thing about it is that if it's wrong inside of us, you don't do it. You know what I mean? If we don't sin, we don't sin against our own convictions.
Yeah, but even if we're wrong.
Yeah, but is that really sinning? Shaving your head to match someone else's?
I don't know.
I'm not. I'm under the discussion.
What are you talking about, Keith? I'm not recalling this passage.
Well, he engaged in practices that were Jewish in nature,
mm-hmm.
and he did it so as not to stumble the Jews.
It's an incident where, and the believers said, "Paul, we think you should do this." Because I think they were Jewish believers, you know.
Usually I can recall
so he went along with it. Huh?
Yeah.
So he shaved his head so he can go and talk to the Jews or whatever?
Well, yeah. They had a doctrine of sanctification, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys were going to be, and they said, go with them and do all what they do. You know, it was not just, it was more than shaving his head, it was something else. But
there's another place, or maybe you can find it, where he says to the Jew I became as a Jew.
Right. Yeah.
To the
that I might become, right. Yeah.
But so was he, but then did he do all this so he can go and preach to them?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think. I don't know though. I don't know if he did preach to them after that or not.
I think it's offered in explanation for he just wouldn't stumble.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
This is what I'm getting. Now, see, Jesus says, you know, no, it wasn't Jesus. I think it was Paul. He says, you know, pay taxes unto whom taxes are due and give reverence unto whom reverence. So I would imagine that Paul wanted to reach the Jews. And, you know, not that he couldn't have reached them without shaving, but, you know, okay, I'll shave my head so I can get in there and so they can let me in and then I'll talk to them.
You see anything like that, Corky?
You know, just...
I think so. I think 1 Corinthians 9:20. Is where,
you know, just, you know, if basically, if you go to England and see the Queen of England, you, as a Christian, you should even, you know, do the whole thing in front of the Queen. Not that it's normal before God, but you just want to be like, you know.
It's funny, though, because it does send a funny message suggesting that, hey, maybe you ought to shave your heads. Gentiles or something, you know.
Corky phoned it, so.
Okay.
Well, yeah, 1 Corinthians 9, 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21. To them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So, yeah, I always took, as I was saying before, he was trying to, it's a different example of don't stumble the one that you're trying to minister to.
Right.
That's
right.
And there's, if you were going to go in the synagogue and probably if you... But it was more the priest.
You need to find that other spot, though, because to see if, I mean, he's saying be whatever, but that was a kind of a weird situation. Is that in Acts?
Paul should
talking about.
Well, Acts, this is the, well, the only, Acts 18:2, but that talks about when he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila.
So a place where he shaved his head for the Jews' sake, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Acts 18:18.
Ooh, I was really close.
There, he shaved his head according to the Jewish custom, marking the end of a vow. He shaved his head at Sentius because he had taken a vow. That was probably a vow of purification.
There was some other place, though, that was more involved explanation of what he was, that he was doing this certain.
Well, I think in then 19, it says he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. He shaved his head. Or he had a vow.
That didn't seem to save him, and he did it.
What was that?
That didn't seem to save him, and he...
No, but he's completing a vow.
Yeah, but I mean, they still pounce on him.
Well, yeah. You can't shave your head and become a Jew. Yeah, you can walk like a Jew and talk like a Jew and shave your head like a Jew. That don't make you a Jew. You ain't a Pharisee there. You gotta do more stuff. That was not the full deal.
There is some other place, though, that...
I wonder if it's chapter 21-24. That's what I...
That's where you were headed? Acts 21-24?
Yeah, Acts 21-24.
Yes.
Is that it?
I think so. I don't know if he shaves his head here. I didn't read that
far. That's what I said. Yep.
Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walked orderly and keep the law.
That's Paul speaking, huh?
No.
Well, no, it's, well... Somebody's saying, take them and be purified, so...
I would think it's... Side note, says Paul urged to take a vow. So I think...
What about this? Getting a haircut and taking a vow.
It would show that he kept the law, but he didn't keep the law.
Makes you stand apart. It's kind of
He was offending them by what he was preaching, because I think he was trying to say that the law was... not good. It didn't mean anything.
But, you know, it does say, you know, Paul, you know, for those that live under the law, I became as under the law. So he was probably just to be let in to people so he can preach and then get him out of the law, I suppose.
Going on to 26, then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the day as a purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Like, to me, this is just meeting the criteria of why you or how you are allowed to go in to the synagogue. And
here's why. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. They said to him, "You see, brother," which is Paul, "how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children to one hour, nor to walk according to the customs."
What verse then? What verse is all this, though?
That's 21:19.
Okay.
What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Somehow whatever he was preaching was getting taken wrong, because the Jews thought he was saying that, you know, Moses didn't matter anymore or whatever,
which he was.
Which was true. Very perceptive, those guys.
Among you foretold to forsake Moses. Well, yeah, you are. Forsake Moses and get Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big step.
Well, to a Jew. Step
because they have been taught in this all their lives.
Right.
And what are you all worked up about getting circumcised there in Galatians, then, if you're willing to do all this stuff, Paul?
Yeah, right. I know. There's some things that just seem a little contradictory.
It does, but it's interesting. I think it creates a picture of the extent to which you do accommodate even doing some things that, you know. And at some point, it's, no, that's too far.
Yeah. It doesn't even matter or mean that necessarily that, that Paul had an accurate look at it for a while. He may have, you know, he might have been, like we, you know, we go through things and.
Yeah, I wonder too. You know, sometimes we think that Paul walked perfectly all the time, and maybe God's put some of this in here and not revealed it right away. You know, because it would mess too. It would mess a lot of people up, and you couldn't believe what Paul said.
You start poking holes at the word.
Yeah,
you go down a rabbit hole.
But I thought that a few times. I thought, you know, it seems like there's a little things that come out of Paul once in a while that, you know.
And we talked about
it's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing though, because if not.
He isn't perfect.
Right.
He's a man.
Right.
He's like the rest of us. You know?
He can seem awful self-focused sometimes.
Yeah.
We were talking about he's giving us his resume.
Yeah.
A couple times, like, hey, I really dud.
You know, and he says it real plain, too. He says, well, the minute a woman isn't, or if she gets married right away, she's not as in love with the Lord anymore, you know? She should stay single as I stay. Everyone should stay single as I do. But that's just my thoughts.
I don't allow women to speak in church.
Yeah. Or to preach.
Yeah.
Let alone preach.
Oh, I think they got to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
There and.
I've heard a few lately that I figured fit in that category. On YouTube.
That might be a good spot to stop for tonight.
Well, anyway, God bless you guys. Did it make it the whole time?
It did.
Well, good.